WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Good evening and welcome. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi, as the intro told you, as I was just scolded for my, yet again, this is, has to be the, I lost count, as my first guest, possibly, he might even stay for the whole show.
I'm going to stay for the whole show.
I think he's staying for the whole show.
If you're going to talk about Plymouth, I'm going to be here the whole show.
It's going to be that good. That's the voice of State Representative Matt Muratori. The giggle was by Peter L. Brown.
Yes, sir.
They're both part of the show this evening.
We could probably get some outside outtakes for his beginning of a show.
We could.
We get rid of Bob Hedlund.
Yeah.
It's like, geez.
Why are we talking about Bob Hedlund?
Well, he was awesome.
You got Suzanne Bump on there.
Yeah.
Suzanne is actually... I actually interviewed her on my show a couple weeks ago. It's actually airing on PAC TV now. It's a very interesting interview.
Sadly enough, she's leaving.
Yeah.
Leaving office.
Yeah. She's done a great job, though.
She has.
She really has.
Definitely has.
No, we like all those people, but yeah. We think you should just upgrade it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. We could help.
Could you now?
Yes.
You can leave the governor on there, though.
The
yes.
Rock and roll governor,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Rock and roll governor, yeah.
Yeah, I've been teased. The gentleman who actually did the first hour last week has teased me many times that we need to do something. The gentleman who I'm actually talking about, Richard Rosen, actually just texted me and threatened me that he will never host the show again until I change the intro to the program.
I'm with him. With him on that.
Yeah.
Use guys. Well, again, you are tuned into Monday Night Talk. Well, it's a hostile and captive show. It's going to be as many different aspects of the town of Plymouth, America's hometown. That's the focus of tonight's show. We'll start things off with State Representative, First Plymouth District, State Rep Matt Muratori. He'll be first up. But he'll kind of linger and he'll stay with the program and enter. And that's what I want. I want to have good conversation and have different voices. Following that is Peter Brown, a local business owner, and I think I've lost count as to how many different organizations and charities that you are a part of, that you sit on the board, that you donate your time, your energy, your resources to.
Yeah.
I mean, I know last count I had was 27.
He's amazing. He's absolutely amazing.
I think he's cloned. Yeah. He just hasn't told anybody.
Yeah. He should run for office. Don't you think, Kevin?
No.
I think so, yeah.
I've seen what you go.
You live in Pembroke, so I don't care. Go ahead and run.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, there we go.
Peter, of course, also is, I believe he's, Peter, you're on the board for the Pilgrim Hall Museum.
Yeah, I'm actually the president of the board this year, yeah.
I don't know how the hell
Sorry.
That happened.
Yeah, it was awesome, yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Thank you.
Second hour, we have Melissa Rigi.
She's awesome.
Plymouth Town Manager. She's coming in studio to join us, to be part of the crowd.
It'll be fun.
She's excited. She's like, this is great. I want to be a part of this. So we're looking forward to that. And then to put a cherry on top, let's talk a little business. Executive Director of the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce, Amy Naples, here in person.
Awesome.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, good show.
I think it's definitely going to be a good show. With Peter, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on, not only with the Pilgrim Hall Museum, but also get an idea as to some of the new things that are going on with it, and even some of the other organizations, some of the other things that are going on in town that I know that you're a part of and that you have. I mean, because you were the past executive director of the Plymouth area.
Past chair of the board,
Past chair, yeah.
Yeah. Sue Giovanetti's the new one. She's been doing a great job, too.
So we'll definitely get your take on that.
Thank you.
And I also want to mix it a little post-COVID and what folks are thinking, you know, where are things at? So we'll talk about that. Hour number two, we'll have Melissa Arrighi in. And with Melissa, I want to talk about post-COVID. We want to talk about operating a municipality during COVID. Then look ahead. What do we got on tap? What are we talking about here in regards to the fall and winter of 2021, business as usual? Goals that she'd like to tackle before she waves goodbye.
Fun fact, too, Plymouth is now the largest town in Massachusetts.
Yep.
It has now exceeded Brookline.
Yeah, they're also talking about redistricting. I think that's a conversation that's going to be taking place in the next couple of weeks.
Are.
And maybe she can give us a little bit of insight on that. And then, as I said, Amy Naples will be joining us. We'll talk business. You know, how are businesses, are they back to thriving post-COVID? You know, I know that you were part of a panel, Matt.
Yeah.
In regards to extending or maintaining outdoor dining.
Yes.
So you talk about how a business is doing in Plymouth 400. Where's that at? We could probably talk a little bit about that on your segment as well.
Absolutely.
So that's all coming up in just a couple of moments. And if Larry, if you want, we can traffic just a little touch early. Be brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at BrennanSmokeShop.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and has extended his reach to Hudson, New Hampshire. I think we have Lisa DeMilo give us our final traffic report of the evening. Lisa, how are the roadways?
Well, Kevin, you're still seeing some heavy volume on the expressway southbound from the tunnel to Southampton Street. Then you hit the brakes from Ryan Ave to the split, northbound slow from Granite Ave to Morrissey Boulevard. Then you're jammed from Mass Ave up into the tunnel, Route 3 south. Delays from the expressway to Union Street. 93 north is crowded from Route 138 to Route 24. Southbound's backed up from Logan Express to Route 24. And Route 24 south, that's busy from 93 to the Horse Bridge and down past 495. This report is sponsored by Whole Foods Market. It's Gouda-palooza at Whole Foods Market. Take 20% off all Gouda through October 5th, plus an extra 10% off for Prime members while supplies last. Learn more in the Whole Foods Market app. Traffic on the 9s every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan's Smoke Shop. Opened in New Hampshire. It's going really good. Really good. But everybody and their mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends wants me to bring them tax-free tobacco to Massachusetts from New Hampshire. Me! Please. I'm going to have to apologize if you or anyone else, and there's a lot of you, like $1 billion worth, want tax-free tobacco. You're just going to have to make the really not too long of a ride to Brennan Smoke Shop and really happy that we're there. Hudson, tax-free New Hampshire. Route 3 North, exit 88 to 3A North, just over the lovely New Hampshire border. Brennan Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in New Hampshire. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back. And our...
Sorry. We're having a conversation among ourselves.
No, it's okay. Talk about yourselves.
I was going to say, I was at the BID Plymouth Hospital Golf Tournament today down in Pine Hills.
Really?
Yeah, it's a beautiful day for it. They had over 200 golfers there, and they raised tens of thousands of dollars for the breast cancer center there.
Nice day. Amazing. That is an amazing layout, the Pine Hills.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
We were there for a wedding a week and a half ago. Man, what a layout. Yeah. Oh, it's just beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with East Bay Grill down there now.
Yeah.
And is that where the highest concentration of voters is right now?
It is, actually. I think Melissa could talk about that more, and that's why in Plymouth they're going to have to redistrict and actually add two more precincts, mainly because of the Pine Hills.
That might upset Charles Matheson.
anything upsets Charles Matheson. I upset Charles Matheson.
What are you going to do? Not a whole lot you can do, right? Interesting is one of the things I had asked you what you would like to talk and focus your segment on was in regards to we will be getting this city, I should say this state is going to be getting a large infusion of money, federal monies, in the American Rescue Plan Act.
Yeah.
And you are a member who sits on the House Ways and Means Committee.
Yeah.
You guys have been holding hearings?
We've been holding hearings almost weekly for the last couple of months. Matter of fact, we have another hearing tomorrow. We're hearing from all the secretaries and plus other people in the Commonwealth that are interested in the money. There's obviously great need out there, as we know. There's over $5 billion that we need to decide, you know, what to do with. Where's the best way to spend that money? And there's so many different areas. You could do it, you know, healthcare. You could do it, you know, tourism. You could do it for infrastructure, as you said. There's just so many ways to do it. And I think it's going to be one of those things where you take the $5 billion and then you split it up into little segments and everyone's going to get a little piece of that.
But is the money coming from the federal government with certain stipulations, or is your committee the one that's going to kind of set those?
There are stipulations on it. It's really for one-time projects or one-time items that you need. It can't be something that you're going to, you know, fund forever. But if you look at tourism, tourism was the number one industry that was really devastated during COVID.
Yeah.
It's coming back, but it's not coming back strong. It won't come back strong for another 3 to 4 years. So we really need to help the hospitality industry and the tourism industry and these businesses that, you know, rely on that over the next 3 or 4 years. So I think you're going to see a lot of money going there as well. Mental health is another issue that's really coming to the forefront. Speaker Mariano is making that a priority, mental health. We did children's mental health last session, and I think we're going to expand on that and do more mental health as well. One of the things we're looking at is to get insurance companies, health insurance companies, to look at mental health the way they do physical health as well and pay for it the same. The belief is that if you can pay for mental health, that could help with a lot of the physical health, because sometimes mental health causes physical health issues. That's another thing that we're looking at as well.
It seems interesting that the CARES Act money that came from the Trump administration had a different delivery and purpose as compared to the Biden administration's ARPA funds.
Mm. I don't think it's much different, though. I think both of them were for, you know, trying to help the economy, try to help it get back on its feet and help businesses throughout, people throughout, to really thrive during this devastating time. I think the county, Plymouth County, has done a good job with giving the CARES Act money out. There's still money there that they're giving out. I just had a presentation a week and a half ago at Town Hall in Plymouth. And Town of Plymouth got another $4 million from the CARES Act.
Wow.
So there is money out there. I know Plymouth has another $21 million coming from federal money as well to help out with the town. But every city and town is getting this. So it is helping. It is helping the communities.
We remember under the Barack Obama administration, where when they offered up stimulus, that the key word was shovel ready. Would you say that this is in the same vein, that this would be shovel-rated stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I'm seeing, and again, back on tourism, because I'm on the tourism committee as well, one of the things we're looking at is we just got $150,000 in the state budget to do a study on a convention center in this area, probably about 4,000 to 6,000-seat convention center. What we're finding is there's a lot of federal money out there, again, for tourism. But because Plymouth is a nuclear waste site, with the plant is being decommissioned, there's also money for that as well to help. So we're really finding if we can get this study off the ground, which we will shortly, we'll see that maybe Plymouth is maybe the place to have a mid-sized convention center, and we'll be able to get some funding, public-private partnership to actually do that.
I believe that you and I had this conversation previously.
We did talk
about this. And you talk about tourism, and there was a recent visit from Keiko Oral as well, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we had we did a roundtable of tourism, arts, and culture. So tourism is separate in the state, and arts and culture is separate. Arts and culture is a quasi-government agency, but does get money from the state government. It gets about $20 million a year. And then the what CAECO runs is the Mass Office Travel and Tourism.
Right.
And they get about $10 million a year. Well, in over the history has been is both organizations really were separate. Although CAECO now has come into the job, I think she's been there a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. Michael Bobbitt just came in about 8 months ago. So they're both new people heading these things now. And so I said, hey, well, let's bring them together.
Yeah.
And they got together. We had a great roundtable tourism with them. We showed them around the community. And they're working together, which they should. Because, again, I sit on the committee of arts, tourism, and culture. It's not just tourism. It's just not arts and culture. It's the same. And so if we can get people working together and thinking that way, it makes it so much easier when you're trying to get grants from either organization.
How is her husband Norm holding up, knowing that he is an elected official to the
House? Norm is a great guy. He's a good friend. We just talked the other day about some healthcare stuff, and he's just really picked up from where CAECO left off, and he's just a great guy. He's out there with people. He's working with people, and I can't just say enough about the work that he's doing.
Something I also want to make sure that we discussed, and I know that a part of it's probably going to blend into Amy's conversation later on in the radio program, but my understanding is that you sat on a round table that kind of looked and discussed about keeping the outdoor dining going.
Yeah, there's two parts to that. The town of Plymouth, through select board member Harry Helm, asked to have the town put together a roundtable committee for the town of Plymouth to actually look at if this is going to be permanent now, how should it look in a permanent basis? We've been operating under emergency rules at this point, so all the laws have been, forgiven at this point, but at some point soon that's going to change, and there are things that are going to have to be looked at is like the ADA compliance in, if your outdoor dining's in the streets, if it's your plumbing, do you have enough people for the bathrooms and things like that. So the town of Plymouth put together a committee on this, and they started working on this last week. Senator Moran, who sits on the who represents Plymouth, sits on the Consumer Protection and Licensure Committee in the for the state as the senator, and she brought her committee meeting to Plymouth. So I was able to welcome them and actually testify at that hearing. And Amy Naples was part of that panel. She was part of the panel. I just came and testified. And basically what I said to him is, if you're going to look at outdoor dining, don't just look at street dining. Look at rooftop dining as well. We just got back from Nashville, Chris and I and some friends, the weekend before, and rooftop dining is just all over the place in Nashville. I'm saying, why don't we bring this to Plymouth, too, and look at that as well.
Right.
That will just add to the tourism as well. So I know that in the state level as well as the town level, it's really being looked at on the rules and regulations for outdoor dining and how can we make it safe but also affordable for the business owners.
Again, if you are just tuning in, tonight's discussion, we're focusing on the great town of Plymouth, America's hometown, and kicking off the radio program is State Rep Matt Muratori, the 1st Plymouth District, talking about some of the things that he is working on. During this roundtable discussion, any pushback in regards to maintaining and at least keeping the outdoor dining a bit longer?
I think people want to make it permanent. I think that's pretty clear. I think it's when you go to Boston, outdoor dining is pretty prevalent, but when you go to some of these other outskirts of the communities like ours, it's really new. It's new in a lot of places in the Commonwealth, so I don't hear anybody say no, we're not going to do it. It's how can we do it to be, like I said, ADA compliant, follow all the rules and regulations, and make it affordable to do. So I think everyone's working towards that goal, and hopefully by next spring, at least the town of Plymouth and maybe the state will come up with some rules and regulations around it to make it a way of life.
It's the affordable aspect of it. That's where you get a lot of those restaurants downtown are mom and pop, are small businesses that just started or just trying to get through COVID. And it's expensive to put that outside table set up there. So if anything that Tom can help him with, that'll be amazing.
But yeah, and there's no see. That's the thing. There's no fees on that at this
correct,
point.
Correct.
But now there may have to be fees. There may have to be fees. You know, you're using parking spaces. The sewage hookup. You know, those things have all been waived, but they may have to be some fees.
And that's the and then the traffic issue too, because of the one way or should it be two way and all that stuff. But I know when they did it first, and they did the one way, there was plenty of room for people to pass and go by and all that stuff. So that should be. That should be really discussed.
Yeah.
Because I know when they went back to two-way, there was a couple instances where I was, you know, when I was at the Pocomoke Museum, seeing the ambulance is trying to, especially on a busy day, trying to come through.
Sure, sure.
So,
sure.
But,
and Amy sits on that town.
Board we talk about
in Plymouth,
it a lot.
And I know Rick Veo is a chair of that, and P.J. O'Hanley owns Water Street Cafe is a vice chair of that. And Amy's on that, a few other people, Lee Filsom, and... Yeah, so they're really trying to see what they can do to bring back to the Board of Selectmen as recommendations.
Yeah, knowing that it's tough times. Now, is Plymouth a community that actually voted for the meals tax? Because I would believe that's a that's another 0.75
A matter of fact, quick story on that is back in I think it was 2013. I was chair of the board at the time, and the old courthouse. The 1820 courthouse in the middle of town has been sitting there for several years, and the Plymouth Redevelopment Authority had the, had control of it. We were able to get it back from them by meeting with them, and then we had meetings with the planning board, the building committee, a couple other groups as well. And it took us about a year, but we came up with a plan to redo that building using that 0.75 meal tax to pay for that. So that $40 million project that's now the town hall is being paid for by the meals tax and not the property tax.
Anything else? You've got a couple of minutes left here in your conversation that you want to make sure we touch upon as part of your State House update?
I touched upon it, but I think mental health is something that we really are tackling and really need to tackle, and not just as the Commonwealth, but as a society as well. And COVID has proven that. COVID has really shined a light on it, particularly in our younger population. Yeah. And I think again, if we can continue to the momentum that we started last session, dealing with mental health and really tackling with the insurance companies to pay as they do pay for physical health, it will go a long way. But I'm really confident that we're going to see some major legislation come out this session dealing with mental health.
But will it have bite enough where the insurance companies will take notice?
Exactly.
And will want to affect change within their own policies?
That's the only way to do it. And that's exactly what I think we're going to be doing. Yes.
Yeah, because knowing that we're still, I don't feel we're out of the woods yet in regards to the pandemic.
No.
And it's going to be one of those things where we'll see how we make it through the fall and the winter, because that's going to be the key,
right?
If we don't see any major upticks, we don't see any super spreader events, we should be okay, right? And once boosters get out and about.
Well, I was going to say, as the vaccine rates keep going up, and we're now at, I think, almost 67% of the eligible population of Massachusetts is fully vaccinated. Now, when you take out the under 12-year-olds who can't be vaccinated, we're up to like 72, 73%. So that's really the key, is just getting people more vaccinated. I think we're getting about 5,000 to 8,000 people every week that keep getting vaccinated.
But as an elected official, whether it's you or you hear your colleagues, I mean, are you hearing pushback? We were hearing a pushback in regards to the state police, the mandate to make sure that their officers were inoculated. Are you, as an elected official, hearing such things from constituents going, why are we being made to do this?
A little bit. Some of it's more about around the masking, though. When the education secretary came out a couple of weeks or a month ago now and said, hey, all the kids are going to be masked. Oh, my God. Some people went crazy about that. Yeah.
Wars broke out on the South Shore.
Yeah. Yep. I think with the mandate of vaccination, we actually just were in session last week and we voted on an order where to get back to the State House, everyone will have to be vaccinated in order to get back to the State House. Now, there were some other things that were behind that. And And I did not vote for it, not because I don't believe in people should be vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. I don't. I think you should show, if you have to show a card, show a card. I have no problem with that. But how it was put together, only 8 people are working on this. And again, it's an order. It's not a bill. And you know, a couple of things that were put in there that if you have a state rep who doesn't want to get vaccinated, then okay, then you work from home, but you could lose your staff member. And it's like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would you lose
penalize
a staff member?
Like to,
yeah, yeah, why would they be penalized? I think we should be putting more into education as state reps, a lot more in education what we're doing than looking at, you know, punishing people that aren't doing that.
He is a state representative, Matt Muratori.
He is.
Yes. Our guest, at least for this segment, but he's going to turn into a co-host in a few moments. Peter, you'll have to take the co-host hat off.
I will.
And you'll have to put the guest hat on.
I got my 400 hat on.
I can see that. Yeah. But I don't know if we told you this when you walked in, but this is not a visual medium.
Oh, sorry.
Nobody can see you.
So nobody can see my thirsty pilgrim?
No. But you'll have to do one of your patented, take a picture with, no, you didn't wear the watch tonight, so you can't do that.
Sorry. Yeah, well, no.
We can do a selfie after.
We can do a selfie. Thank you. You'll get all of us in here.
I had to retire that watch.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You burned it out?
No.
Too many pictures?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Mine, again, just a quick story before we segue to a quick break. Talking to somebody today, and my phone started saying, oh, you don't have this going on. You don't have that going on. I'm going, what the heck is going on? It's crazy how you're like, your devices are listening to you.
Well, let's talk about whales and see how much it comes up on our phone later. Serious.
We'll try that during your segment.
Okay, good.
See how many times we can say whale.
Okay. Thank you.
So what we'll do is we'll step aside just for a moment. When we come back, Peter L. Brown, he'll be joining us on the mic.
Thank you.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub is an upscale Irish pub with all the class of a Boston pub. The menu offers favorites like steak tips, fish and chips, meatloaf, as well as burgers, sandwiches, and pizza. The relaxed, comfortable atmosphere at McGuigan's makes it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize with family and friends. New hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to close, Friday through Sunday, 11:30 to close. McGuigan's Pub is at 546 Washington Street in Whitman, with the full menu available at McGuigan'sPub.com.
This Luck of the Irish moment is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. 5-year-old Carter Burnell is autistic and was celebrating his birthday alone at a skate park until 13-year-old Gavin Mabes and his friends turned up and turned Carter's luck around.
Gavin's making him feel special, and the rest of his friends followed suit and then started singing happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. This tech update is sponsored by Dell Small Business. Here's CNET's Ian Schur on why prices for the new iPhones are the same as last year.
Because the design hasn't changed much, keeping the prices around where they are is good business decision for them.
Dell's semi-annual sale for business has arrived. Save up to 45% on Dell computers with Windows 10 Pro. Enjoy specials on Dell docks, monitors, and servers. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. So call 877-ASK-DELL to speak with a Dell Technologies advisor. 877-ASK-DELL.
Unless you're married to a plumber, you generally don't consider what happens when you flush the toilet. If you're selling your home, do you know what your responsibilities are as a seller pertaining to your septic system? Do you know the laws and regulations surrounding Title V? Since I am married to a plumber, I probably know too much. Join me, Sharon McNamara, the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, along with my team and other Boston Connect Real Estate experts at our Talk Real Estate Roundtable to discuss this top tip and many others. Tomorrow night, after the news at 6, here on 95.9 WATD.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Peter Brown steps up to the microphone.
He'll yes, sir.
Bit, he'll do a little bit more talking than yes. just
I was practicing.
No, that's
I didn't want to interrupt. He was doing really well.
It's all good.
Yeah, I was going to ask him about whales later, but
I'm president. Role as president of the board for Pilgrim Hall
Pilgrim
Museum.
Hall Museum, yeah.
How are things going down there?
It's amazing. I pinch myself every day. And it's just I'm in awe of the artifacts and the expeditions that they do, and then they just did the dig on Coles Hill, and it's just, I'm blessed. It's very nice.
So how does this particular role that you have with the museum differ from all the other ones that you participate in, that you're a part of to help the community?
So this aspect of it, that we have 32 trustees that work from every imaginable place that you can imagine. They're professors, retired business owners, our Bartlett Nuclear, Mr. Bartlett's on our board, and it's just the breadth of experience and stuff that's on the board is just, it's phenomenal. And with me, my leadership role is to make sure that they're all working together and helping us create create and help the foundation of the museum continue. I mean, we're 200 years old.
Yeah, you got a 200th year anniversary coming up, don't you, in a couple of years?
We just did, yeah.
Oh, it just came up, just happened?
Yep. So it's just the breadth of the information, the architectural, the it's just everything. It's just awesome. I just love it.
So it isn't just necessarily the financial arm of it?
No, it's the fundraising. Planning. Fundraising, planning. Okay. The everything that inside, you know, the... I'm like having trouble with words here. I'm just very helpful with it.
They have one of the best fundraisers too. The COVID has put it aside. They'd have it down the waterfront on the Viscarelli's property on Warren Ave in Plymouth, and it'd be under a tent. There'd be a dinner. Actually, Vinny, myself, and Terry Murray, we do the
How I got the
auction.
With the
yeah, we do
time.
The auction, and it's just the best time, and they raise a ton of money for that.
So the past year and a half with COVID, since it's been shut down, we probably lost about a third of our coming in, but it's starting to reopen. Donna Curtin has got it so that it's all COVID safe, it's just been really, it's been good. So
now it's the longest.
It's the oldest.
Oldest.
Continuous museum in the country.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. She has a great job.
She does.
She's great outreach. It's
Donna, the director.
Donna Curtin. Curtin. Yep. The executive director. She's been there for almost 5-6 years now.
Is it that long now?
Yeah. Wow. Yep. And then we're just talking about the Forefathers Day, and that's coming up. That's going to be virtual again this year because
is
of
it?
Yeah. Yeah, we had to back that up. But
what is the state of the museum in your eyes? I mean, has there been an uptick in interest post COVID?
Yeah. Well, if you want to put a positive spin on COVID, teachers and the curriculum are all in house now, so people were researching a lot more. So our website hits were just through the roof.
I wouldn't have thought of that. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
So we're in the process of redoing our website and digitizing a lot of our artifacts that can be researched.
You have more of a virtual presence.
Exactly, more virtual presence. Our online store has been going crazy. And a lot more people are interested in what the forefathers were and what the pilgrims were and what the indigenous aspect of it was.
You know, and I think I don't think I said this the last time you were here. I think the one thing that Plymouth 400 has done over the last decade is really shined a light on Plymouth and what Plymouth has to offer. Yeah. And then that people couldn't come, so that pent-up demand is really there. And I think people are coming to see, like, the Pilgrim Hall Museum and things that are really going on. They always wanted to come here, and now they're starting to.
Yeah, and the last two events they were able to hold at the museum, we had the two 400 events. We had Mr. Abbott come in at the library. We were able to hold that event. They were supposed to be outside, and it rained, and we did it inside. And then we had the ambassador from England come in. Right. And that was at the 400 Maritime event. In fact, what I have you here...
I think we should have a drum roll.
Yes, we should.
There's going to be a little bit of a presentation as I'm giving you the verbal stall.
Yeah.
As Peter is pulling out, and I'll give you the description here, a very fine white box.
Looks wow, like look at this box, huh?
Yes.
So I had the pleasure of Donna, we had put together a presentation for the ambassador of England, and Matt was the presenter, and
oh my God, look at that.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Thank you, Larry. Very timely.
Nice job, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Very nice job, Larry.
I wish people could see this. We'll have to get this on social media.
Well, if you turn it to me, I can take a picture and give it to Peter.
Okay. Look at that.
Peter, you can talk while I take a picture.
So,
explain to people what it is.
So what happened was, this is a poster that we sell at the museum of all the women that came over on the Mayflower and how they survived. And the first recipient of this award was Amy Naples at the Phyllis Hughes dinner for the Plymouth Area Coalition. And Susan Moran, Senator Moran, reached out and wanted to do the same thing for the ambassador when the autonomous Mayflower was supposed to come over. But then
that happened,
right. So the night before, she says, "Hey, you still got that?" I said, "Yeah, it's in my office." She could bring it. So that's what we did. We presented
it. Terrific.
Yeah, that's so
terrific.
That's for you.
Thank you so very much. This is awesome.
So you weren't expecting this.
I was not expecting. I never get gifts when I come here.
Yes, you do. I gave you a cup drop.
There's special gloves to take
it
out.
Thank you so much. Then, oh, my God.
And you have to cover it so no dust gets on there.
That's a good picture of me.
Yes, it is.
So.
It is.
You actually have the Stanley Cup gloves.
So tell us who's in the picture.
So we have the ambassador from Britain, and we have Senator Moran. And actually, Representative Lenatra, they actually have the same color suits on.
They do.
And then Steve Xaros, myself, and Donna Curtin.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's awesome. And it's up on the stage at on the waterfront. Really nice.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I really
you're
appreciate
welcome.
That.
Very welcome. Thanks for everything.
You can come in if you want.
Thanks for everything you do for
the
museum.
We're grilling
Matt right
now.
Oh, my God. Look at the gift I got, Melissa. Look at it. Did you bring me a gift? I got a gift from Peter.
No. Have a seat.
Don't get me in trouble.
That's awesome. Thank you so
you're
much.
You're welcome.
I
Thanks for everything
that.
You do.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We have an open door policy here tonight because it's everything Plymouth.
It just came in. Nice.
Walk right in. I like that. I like that.
Of course, your segment doesn't start until 7.
I like the bright colors we have
just
going on.
I can sit
here
and listen to interesting men for hours, so that's what I shall do.
Okay. Or you can ask Matt questions. We're talking to Peter.
Yeah, so the museum. So the Pathfinders exhibit is still going on right now if you want to come see it.
Fantastic.
We're still doing the tours. We're open Wednesday through Saturday and with the normal hours. We haven't been able to open Monday and Tuesday yet.
I could be wrong here, but I'm kind of getting a little deja vu, but I think Melissa might have been part of that, the radio segment we did.
That's right. The Pathfinders exhibit, that is correct.
Ah.
Yeah.
Good to see you, too.
And we have Amy. Amy, I think, was also part of it, right?
She was, yeah. Wow. And Kathy Lenatra was part of it, Therese Murray, and we had Lee Folsom. So that was a great segment.
So
that's my story. So it's been good. I'm really enjoying myself.
So I would ask you this. What have you been doing other than enjoying some of the exhibits at the museum?
Ah.
Because then you're somebody who gets, you're a man about town.
Yeah, so I'm working really hard with the Talking Information Center, and we just got our funding. I appreciate everything you did. We're still trying to get that permanent line, give you a heads up. And so we had a listener, one of our people that listened to the Talking Information Center. What's his name? Richard... So anyways, he was a listener. He'll kill me later, but so he
Rich will be very happy that
you
don't remember
him. So he reached out to me and he said, I want to go to the Thirsty Pilgrim, and he's blind. I said, fine. And he says, I'll get to the Kingston station, I'll get an Uber, and I'll come over and I'll visit. So we got him all hooked up, shows up, enjoys himself, has a great time, get an Uber to go back. Now the Uber that came and dropped him off was one price. When the Uber that picked him up, it was double. To take him back to the train station.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so I said I would talk to you about that. So anyway, so that's why I was commenting about infrastructure.
I get blamed for everything.
No, nothing to do with me.
Uber legislation.
I don't know. So that's why I was commenting on it, because we're talking about infrastructure.
Well, interesting enough, I think somebody actually called in who wants to address that.
Ah.
Caller, identify yourself.
This is Kathy Lenatra. How are you?
Kathy, I have a beautiful picture of you and I and Sue that Peter Brown just gave me when the British ambassador was here.
Oh, we always take great pictures together.
We do, yeah.
We do. We really are very focused.
Kathy is my work wife.
Yeah.
We have more pictures of both of us than we do of our own spouses.
We do. It's true. I have to say it's true.
Kathy, have you had a chance to tune into any of the programs so far? And do you have any questions?
You know, I have been trying to, but, tonight's the gym night, and I hadn't eaten all day, so I just stopped for a little morsel and thought I would call in to say hello to all my Plymouth friends, and, of course, my friend Peter Brown.
Hello.
And, of course, Melissa's
here, too.
Melissa is here as well, if you want to say hi to her.
Hi, Melissa. Good to see you. Well, not see you, but hear you.
Absolutely. Did I just hear you say you had your gym night?
Not me for the gym. My daughter's a competitive gymnast.
Oh, okay. I was kind of wondering that myself.
I know. Yeah, I had time to work out.
Oh, gym, that could have been taken so many ways.
Yeah,
oh,
it could have been.
So, is there anything that you want to bring to the table? So, we'll talk with Peter. Go ahead.
I started to hear, Peter, you had said someone had Ubered to, was it?
The Thirsty Pilgrim.
I heard Uber the Thirsty, and different prices.
Yeah, the Thirsty Pilgrim. So, he came to the Thirsty Pilgrim and was charged one price. And then when when Uber Lyft picked him up, he was charged a double price to go back to the same location.
Do you think because they knew they were picking him up at the Thirsty Pilgrim and he may have been drinking?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering. Maybe. I'm throwing that out there.
Maybe. But
Although Plymouth probably has a tax on Uber, so that's probably why it's double what any Plymouth. I'm looking at Melissa saying that.
And I'm deliberately making no eye contact and not answering.
I think what's brilliant is at least we're giving the visuals to our audience. That's important.
Oh my God, I feel so left out. I'm not in the studio.
Oh.
Well, come on by.
Listen, we're here for another hour.
This is Naples is going to come join the party, too.
Yeah. Did you get pizza?
I didn't get pizza. I got chili.
Oh,
yeah.
We'll take that.
Chili's good. Something small. Yeah. Trying to stick to this keto,
With or without beans?
With beans. Ooh. Well, no, I really, actually, now that I'm looking, there's no beans.
Oh, you got robbed.
No beans. No.
You got robbed.
I don't think beans are keto.
No, they're not.
Yeah, but if you have it in a small cup, it doesn't matter.
Mm. That is true.
Oh, yeah. Well, right.
You're counting calories.
True. This is true.
Kathy, how many committee meetings do you have tomorrow?
Oh my God.
They're all on Tuesdays, aren't they? I have four of them tomorrow, all the same time.
I am the same. Well, we're on one committee together.
Yes.
Yeah, we're on Ways and Means together. Yeah. But that is.
That will take priority for me, actually.
That takes priority. Ways and Means takes priority.
Yeah.
Yes. Lots of committee meetings. Mm. Yep. Yes. And we have, Amy, I'm sure, is going to talk about the legislative breakfast on Friday morning.
Oh, that's
morning.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
About
I'll
that.
Be there.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you want to give the details of that real quick?
I would love Amy to give the details because she's the head honcho on that. So let her give the details. We're going to speak. Matt's going to speak. You can talk about what you're going to speak to, and I'll probably speak about the future of work commission that I'm on. So I'm really looking forward to it, to actually be in front of everyone.
Oh, you're going to talk about that? That's terrific. I'm actually going to talk about the convention center idea because we're getting the funding on that for this week.
Too.
Yeah. And thank you for your help and co-sponsorship on that, too.
I have to tell you, Matt, I've been driving around Plymouth, and that would be a great spot. Would be a great
spot. That's
what
I do, too.
Do you do the same thing? Yes.
I think Town Hall would be a great spot.
We'll put it where the parking garage is, right? Just five
stories.
That's
where our next Future of Work Commission meeting is going to be, is at the Town Hall in Plymouth on
October 12th,
I believe.
Yeah, we're actually going to do
forward to that.
We're doing a walkthrough, Kathy, Friday of Town Hall.
Yes, but I will be teaching my topics on the Hill at the Duxbury Senior Center, so I will miss that.
So Josh and I will do a walkthrough of that. Good.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Yes. Well, I'm going to let you all go, but it was a pleasure talking to all of you. Melissa, let's see each other soon.
I would love that.
All right.
You'll have
free
time soon, right? Won't you?
You'll have lots of time.
There she is, State Representative Kathy Linatra.
Thanks, Kathy.
Bye, Kathy.
Bye.
Bye, Kathy. Joining us from the 12th Plymouth District, as she had a chance to call in. I had to text her and tell her to call in.
Yes.
Because she
She is such a great supporter of the Chamber and Pilgrim Hall Museum and the Talk Information Center, Boys and Girls Club in Plymouth. She does an incredible job. So
she does.
About somebody that just walked in and just picked it up just right off the bat. She's unbelievable.
A dynamo.
Yeah. She's really good.
I think she had some mentoring, but
you want to take a little?
Was his name Josh?
Yeah, that's who it was.
Do you want to give Matt a little bit of credit?
Yeah, of course he won't.
Yeah, wow. Of course. So, talk about the Alzheimer's Walk this weekend. Did you go to that?
Oh yeah, I'm caught right. Yeah, we actually had the Alzheimer's Walk. God, I don't know how many years I've been emceeing this. Probably, I think, 12 years now. Yeah. We had it at Nelson Park. Thank you, Melissa, and the staff for helping us set that up. And we probably had about 1,500 walkers there.
Good.
Of course, we try to keep them socially distanced and all that. Yeah. And it was an abbreviated version this year because of COVID. But it was good to have everyone out there. It was nice weather. We probably raised close to $400,000 on that day, which is what we usually do.
Yeah.
And we were very close to where we were in 2019 for raising money, too. So it's nice to see that came back.
And that was awesome. Switching it over to Nelson Park.
Yeah.
It's just
Nelson
Park's
much better.
It's a great spot.
Much better location.
Great spot.
Yeah.
Is that where the lobster is?
No, the lobster is at...
Where is the lobster? Remember the infamous lobster that went missing?
He's not the...
Yeah. A lobster you guys sponsor?
Yeah, Ed. Yeah.
Ed the lobster?
Ed the lobster.
That's a Council on Aging. Right?
Yeah.
Is it in the
that's
hall, right, the
Do you know, Ed's,
yeah, the senior center,
Ed
yeah.
still doesn't know I named it after Ed.
Yeah, we have to name it after Ed Santos.
He's not aware of that until right now?
No, I told him.
I don't know. Yeah. We've told him so many times, he just keeps forgetting.
Yeah, he does. Right. He just forgets everything.
He's a great guy. Yeah, he's seriously, awesome. Though, Ed Santos is a guy.
Yep.
When I get to be 90, I want to be Ed Santos.
I want to know where he gets his clothes.
Yeah.
He dresses amazing.
Yeah, I know.
He's just amazing.
I hate to say it, but you either have style or you don't.
Right.
No, yeah. he has it all. He's just one of those guys.
Guys together.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, why don't we do this? Let's step aside.
Thank you.
Take our break, top of the hour break here. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk. You're at 95.9 WATD and an all Plymouth extravaganza. Coming up after the 7 o'clock break, Melissa Arrighi, town manager, she'll be joining us. And also, Amy Naples. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
TD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. The South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD. Streaming online at 959WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Each year, about 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced Cancer Care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck, snap back or rock. Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINYS. And thank you.
This is Chris Atwood from 95.9 WATD. Join me this Friday from 6:15 to 10 p.m. for The Alternative, when we flash back to 70s punk, 80s new wave, 90s Britpop, and new music from today. The Alternative, this Friday from 6:15 to 10 p.m. on 95.9 WATD.
Cooking at home.
presented by The Home Depot. Veggie stir fries are light, easy to make, and downright delicious to devour. Here's Rachel Ray with a quick tip for your next recipe.
The smaller you chop the veggies, the quicker they're going to cook. I don't use frozen carrots for a couple of reasons. You know, they're going to add a little too much liquid to the pan, and I like that all-day cooked taste.
The Home Depot is here to help. Visit HomeDepot.com or download our app to find the essential products you need. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Research shows that people remember radio ads with British accents. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need, take it from a Brit.
Oi, barmy insurance blokes filching dosh out your pocket. It's barmy. Liberty Mutual won't leave you skint, mate.
Can you just say Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need?
I think that's what I said, you blooming.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty. Go ahead, indulge yourself. Every Wednesday night, tune in to Talk with Francesca and join me for provocative conversation, intriguing stories, and inspiration. So sit back and relax, or be stimulated, or both, because being connected feels good, and who doesn't need more of that these days? Don't miss Talk with Francesca Wednesday nights at 9 on 95.9 WATD.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tocchi and Monday Night Talk.
Okay, we're back for hour number two. Hopefully you enjoyed the very first hour. Later this hour, we will speak with Amy Naples, Executive Director of the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce. But right now, we speak with the Plymouth Town Manager, America's Hometown, Melissa Rigi, here in studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's awesome to be here. I'm a little embarrassed that I appear to be the only one that brought notes.
Kevin's got notes.
Kevin's got notes.
I got notes. And I even shared my notes.
Yeah.
Here. Share my notes.
Thank you. I think I'm the only one without notes. I think Kevin even has some.
No. Hold on. I got notes for you, too. Hold on. No, Melissa. We all have notes now.
So should we, like, pick one question and then ask her?
No, you just follow my lead.
All right.
We're here to have a conversation.
This isn't
an inquisition or an interrogation. This is to get to know Melissa Rigi. You can talk a little bit about the town of Plymouth. I will say I was privileged a couple of times that we had you on during COVID. We had a couple of great roundtables with other town administrators, town managers. We even had a couple of mayors on. You participated, and it was a great conversation. Where are things now? Here we are as we're cruising into, hopefully, post-COVID for Plymouth.
You know, I got to tell you that those different Plymouth town managers and the mayors have been such a tremendous resource. We rely on each other pretty heavily, and we've shared a lot of information during this whole time because we were reacting as quickly as we could. I think the line that we all had was, there's no playbook, and you heard that used over and over, but there really wasn't anything that we could rely on completely. Now, in Plymouth, I think that we were very lucky. Not only did we have a huge amount of dedicated staff, but we have an emergency management director, and he had decades of experience, and we have the emergency operations center, so we were able to rely a little bit on, his name was Hank. He has now retired, and I think we're seeing that mass exodus for so many people after COVID.
Yeah.
But we were able to really pull together those resources and trying to figure out a path for Plymouth. Right now, we are strictly looking forward. Now, we've all talked or heard about this sort of anxiety or angst, or even somebody could say anger, that's sort of out there in the general public right now, and we're seeing it. We're hearing about it from our different restaurants. We're hearing about it from our businesses. We've had two recent incidents at Town Hall over the past few days where the caller, the conversation became so aggressive that we had to reach out to the police department. So as much as we're all trying to look forward, we're dealing with a lot of the repercussions and after effects of what happened during COVID. And we're not through it yet. I mean, I think one of the things that our Board of Health has done a great job with is letting the public know through electronic communication, through our website, about what our numbers are still like for people that are contracting COVID. We can't forget about the number of people that we lost to COVID, and that's not over yet. So as much as I don't want to come on here and be negative, we do have to think about everything that's already taken place and try as hard as we can not to get back there. But in addition to that, I think we learned some great things. I mean, if you do want to look at some things positively, the staff really came together. We figured out how to work from home. We had a series of employees that come hell or high water, they were coming into that office to get done what needed to be done. We had a really dedicated public safety force that knew they had to continue to perform as is. So I think in that way, we learned that we can respond quickly and still provide the services that Plymouth, they demand it. So it's not like you can shut everything down.
No, and we said this at the state level as well, is that we still have to do the people's business. And you and Plymouth did a tremendous job getting up and running as soon as possible to do that in very creative ways. And I think one of the positive things that came out of it is all this, you know, with PAC TV doing Zoom meetings and all this other stuff that really has helped, you know, keep the government open.
And that can be a little bit hard. I mean, I know for me, I'm a little bit older, so I grew up in the public sector. I've been doing public sector work exclusively for over 31 years now, and it was always face-to-face. Mm. That's how we meet with upset residents. Yeah, that's how we do our business. And all of a sudden, like a light switch, we had to start to, you know, I'm tweeting now, which, of course, all my friends my age and older make fun of me. I do not love it. I've opened an Instagram account, but I have not dabbled with it yet.
Oh, it's great.
You know, we were on Facebook all the time. We were on that website all the time. Yeah. We were trying to do things with our phone system. Our IT director, Joe Young, was really helpful with that because we knew we had to still do outreach, but it wasn't going to be that kind of more intimate contact that you get when you do face-to-face.
Yeah. That's the downside of this, too, especially in our business where it's all about relationships. You lose that relationships. And then when you get people just, you know, just on social media or calling you, they feel like they can attack you more so too than they can if they're in person.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a little lonelier
for
both the position and for people at home. I mean, I remember the day when I started working, I was a receptionist at Bridgewater State College at the time, and I would hand out paychecks. So you really got to know people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was biweekly at the time because you actually got to see them and talk to them. You knew faces. You felt like you got to know the person even a little bit. That does not occur anymore. Yeah. And I have to tell you, my younger friends, they have literally no interest in picking up the phone and talking one-on-one. If they can't do it online, they're not too pleased about that.
Right.
Do you think it's a generational thing? Do you think that, you know, I'm with you. I like the face-to-face interaction with someone. You can read a person better. When you're doing it through a text message or an email, it's kind of hard to read an individual or make sure that you're making the right call depending on the situation.
I think it's both generational and it's a personality type. Because we all know some, you know, people of a older generation, my generation, that really have embraced technology and enjoy communicating that way or getting things done that way, where I'm a little bit more like I think you here. I like that sort of one-on-one FaceTime. And I have to tell you, some of the people that I spoke to on the phone when we were really in shutdown mode, or even when you had to make an appointment to come into town hall and do business, some of the people that I talked to, you could just sense how lonely they were and that they really wanted somebody to talk to. Even if it started out as a complaint, the conversation went on to be so much more than that. So I think that we have to find a better balance maybe than we have right now with so many services being offered online only.
I know that there are many businesses, not only here in the South Shore, but around the Commonwealth, around the country, where they can't find help and that they're losing people. I don't know if that's just business. Has Plymouth as a municipality suffered a similar situation where you had enough key people in each department and then all of a sudden after and during COVID, you lose these people?
So we try and be pretty supportive as town managers to each other, but we're not above stealing each other's top employees. So, you know, I'll sometimes talk to Jimmy Boudreau in Scituate, some of the others, and I'll say, you watch out because, you know, we talk a little bit about when I leave, and I know we'll talk about that later in the show, there are certainly some people that if I went into a similar line of work that I would be very actively trying to take at some point when I'm there because they're fantastic and the towns want the best. But we do not have one department, I believe, at this point that is fully staffed. And it's not just Plymouth, because I still feel that in some ways you're lucky to come to work in Plymouth. It's a great community. It's exciting. Mm. There is so much going on.
Great representation, too.
You can get involved, of course. You know what, though? Let's jump to that. Talk about a great relationship with your legislative delegation. Yes. And we're lucky enough to have a representative, and it's not because he's sitting next to me right now, but to have a representative that truly understands municipal government, as does our lieutenant governor because of her experience being on a select board. So that does make a difference. So even though we have a ton of openings, so if any of you gentlemen here are interested in a change in your line of work, Plymouth is hiring a lot of positions. And certainly we all know that it's not just statewide, it's countrywide with the amount of patrolmen or people that are not going into the police force now. And I think everybody here is going to remember when we were younger, that list was so long, there was no way your friends could even touch becoming a police officer.
Right. Yeah. Very, very true. Yeah. Yeah. I think early on when you're opening and talking about working in COVID, I think one of the accomplishments that you touched on was having a staff that had a can-do attitude, being, you know, willing to go in and go in and get the job done. What do you think are some of the other accomplishments the town, the municipality, your employees have been able to accomplish during COVID and have continued on since?
So the fact that we were able to still manage, although we had to extend and postpone town meeting, working very closely with moderator Trifletti, who was also fantastic. Mm. I mean, I think that sometimes you don't know who your top performers are until something like this happens. And then they really come out of the woodwork to say, what can I do to help? Right. I'm going to mention Michelle Turner, who works in our procurement officer, who has worked for the town for a really long time. And she came right to us right in the beginning and said, I'm available, I'm close by, how can I help? It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Well, you know, how often do you hear that anymore? It was fantastic. So I think some of the accomplishments was, one, to keep the business up and running. Two, to really look around and see who you could rely on and who actually still makes work such a priority because they love it and they have a really strong work ethic. I like seeing that because I'm attracted to people that have that kind of work ethic. I think some of the accomplishments were beyond technology. It was teaching each other, not something that that's easy to do when you're all remote, but teaching each other and filling in for each other's jobs. In the public sector, we don't do as much cross-training as you might see in the private sector because each individual, you know, how many people can do a town clerk's role? Or how many people can do the HR director's actual role? But you saw some of that cross-ability during that time.
Gentlemen, I'm like hogging all the questions here. Anything you gentlemen want to?
What impressed me was the virtual town hall when that started and the COVID report every week that Stephen did and the roundtable and how it was duplicated throughout the state on the effect of it. And I watched it every week just to get ideas and to help me with my small business to keep going. And it was incredible.
That was the idea of doing those shows. Yeah. Actually, it was Steve, myself, and Ken DeVaris at the time that we're doing them daily, then, you know, 5 days a week. And then we now do them just once a week now. But it was really to give people the most up-to-date information.
Well, it gave us hope.
It gave us understanding. Yeah. It gave you a purpose. It gave us a purpose, too, of, you know, what we're doing, how we're doing. You know, you talk about social media, people getting information on social media or national news and not really listening what's happening in their own hometown. Right. And that was important to make sure they were getting the facts of what's happening in their hometown.
Would you say that the town's IT director, IT department, organizations like PAC-TV were essential during during COVID?
Absolutely, yeah.
PAC-TV was a really close partner. Mm. You know what? And even pre-COVID, PAC-TV has always worked really closely with the town of Plymouth and I think their other communities because they know that in order for us to get information out to so many people in the public, and that's their goal, to educate. So we use that local government access channel quite a bit. Mm. And that, you know, I'd always love to go back and that daily show and then weekly show, I'd love to see what the... What's the word I want? Not the population that was watching it, but like how many viewers you had at a time, if there's a way to tell that.
Yeah, the only thing I don't think they have is like Nielsen ratings or Arbitron or anything like that.
But they were saying that initially there was thousands and thousands of people that were watching it daily because just the feedback they were getting, the questions we were getting. Whenever one of us was out of the store or something, we'd get bombarded with, you know, with comments about it as well. So
if they live stream and if they use any of the networks or the platforms,
then they can find out,
you'd be able to find out.
Yeah. I'd love to know that because sometimes when I talk to some people in the community, they will say to me, "Well, Melissa, I don't do email. I certainly don't do the website or a Twitter account or anything like that. I don't get the local newspaper," and I will finally say to them, they may or may not, you know, PAC-TV is usually something I can encourage them to flip on that they will watch, but I will actually say sometimes to these people, well, in a perfect world, if I could have communicated this to you, I certainly can't go door to door, what would it be? And they said, you know, mail. Mm. I know it's snail mail, but you know, the old-fashioned
carrier pigeon.
You know that's not even possible in this day and age to get out. The way information is so fast now.
Yeah, so true.
Looking ahead to, here we are, we're in the fall, and winter 2021, 22 is ahead. Do you see the next couple of months business as usual? Or is your eye, as the town manager, are you going to be paying attention to any upticks in COVID? What's on your radar?
So our public health director and our Board of Health chairman, Barry Potvin, they've been great about really monitoring and breaking down those numbers and what they look like. But I have to tell you, to some degree, I really am leaving that with the public health department. We have got to get back to business as usual. There are just so many demands, mm-hmm. and the pushback about masks now, and the pushback about Ooh. Still even really talking about COVID.
We were just talking about that.
That doesn't mean we can ignore it. Certainly, that's not what I'm insinuating to anybody listening out there. However, we do have to get back to business. We have to take caution for our employees and our visitors to town hall, but we are a full-blown service, and that's where we want to be. I mean, look at the senior center. Look at everything that they were able to do while they closed, but they need to be reopened. Those people need us, and we need them.
Yeah, there are a lot of resources that the Council on Aging's offer, the libraries offer, and you don't realize how essential they are until you no longer have them, and you can't go there, whether it's to have a companion, have a conversation with someone. It's just, you know, a couple of loaves of bread that they're giving away. If that's something, you know, fuel assistance, these are all key essential things.
Mm-hmm. Talk about a positive, too, that happened during COVID was Michelle Braddy, who's the director of the senior center. Yes. Every day she would get a call out to over 10,000 seniors just with an update saying, hey, how you doing? This is what's going on. That was just something else. That was ingenious to actually do that.
It's
and
sad,
really
though.
keep them connected.
Yep. It's kind of sad to think that sometimes that was the only interaction that they had all day.
And
so that's why it was so important.
I heard Gina say they look forward to that call every day.
Good.
From her. Yeah.
Just a quick note, a side note, and that is I know that there's an ongoing discussion in regards to, Matt mentioned it earlier, that the town of Plymouth is the largest town in the Commonwealth, which means that...
Just exceeded Brookline with the new census.
Growing. Yeah. And rumor is that, it's not really rumor, it's actually a fact, that there's going to be a discussion about redistricting.
Yes, we'll be looking at more precincts, adding two more precincts to the town of Plymouth. Now, that comes with its own set of uneasiness by some people, as the precinct or the polling location that they used to may change slightly. There are some criteria, though, that we have to look at, a certain number of people that could belong to any one precinct. So the select board will actually be voting on that tomorrow evening. We've done quite a bit of work. We have worked closely with town clerk Pearl Sears. We brought back former town clerk Lawrence Pizer.
Ooh, calls me every week.
To help with that, does he? To help us with that process. I think that Pearl has been wonderful about meeting with individual residents' concerns. I mean, I think we've nailed it. I think we've got a pretty good product to show the board tomorrow night. Hopefully they vote it. If they don't, that would be unfortunate, because then you, my dear representative, or the state actually, will actually do the mapping for us. And we don't want that. We want to be able to control our own destiny.
You want to be able to control your own destiny, absolutely.
That is interesting. And do we have any numbers as to how much the town has grown since the last census?
63,000 now, I think it is.
I think that's what it's up to right now.
It was 56,000 in 2010. I think it's 63,000 now.
Now, is there a certain amount of population that you're allowed to have before you have to decide whether you want to change your form of government?
No, you have some cities that are very, very small, some that are large. It's really not based on population. No, town versus a city is only strictly based on what form of government you have. What is your charter?
Yeah. There's a charter commission now in Plymouth that was elected back in May, 9 members of that, and we meet almost on a weekly basis. So they're gathering input on that now and bring it to the voters either this coming May or the following May.
Really? To retain the form of government you have, or maybe
that's up to them.
Change that charter?
You know
it's
what?
Up to them.
The Plymouth has adjusted their charter in many ways every few years and had to make changes to it based on needs, what is happening. So I think it's good that every 5 years or so, they take a hard look at the charter and they say, are there more significant changes that we should make?
Mm-hmm. So we know that you are going to be retiring.
Yes.
Clock is ticking. You have goals? Have you set goals that you want to tackle? There's a few last things. I'm sure over the years that you have been the town manager, you have really ticked off many goals. But I'm sure that there are a few that have been on the bucket list maybe that you've like, oh, I'm going to make sure I take care of this before I walk out that door.
Yes. So there are a couple things. As I look at the things on my desk, there are definitely a few projects and some tasks that I would like to accomplish before I go. And then there is also a handful of projects that every year I would tell myself, you have to get to these. One of them is taking a look at the historic downtown area and make sure that we don't lose any of these little paths or old historic lanes. And I wanted to mark them in the sidewalk with a seal we had designed. But we'll have to leave those projects to the next person, and hopefully somebody will pick that up. But there are definitely some things that I want to accomplish. One is this constant talk about White Horse Beach restrooms. Yes. It's such a beautiful beach, and it's such a great area, and we need to be able to provide restroom facilities. So I would like to get that secured before I leave. I'd like to bring, establish some kind of plan, hopefully working with Matt, to bring back the Water Street Promenade. I know how expensive the project is, but trust me when I tell you, that is going to be one of the most wonderful things for that Water Street, to have this beautiful walking promenade. And honestly, we deserve it. What we have right there right now is just not, in my opinion, adequate for the town of Plymouth.
We brought the commissioner down this summer to take a look. The DCR commissioner had to come down because that's where the money will come from. We looked at it, and you could see where Mayflower is and the Plymouth Rock and all that, and you look at the waterfront with the marine facility and everything over there. This is like the last piece to connect it all together. It really made sense when you looked at it.
Gathering areas.
It would be beautiful.
Encouraging walking, encouraging people to be outside in that area. I mean, I think the outside dining has helped a little bit, bring some people up to Main Street, and we can do more work with that. But the Water Street Promenade is just something that I really hope that we can accomplish for the town.
I think we can.
What was your feeling? What is your thought in regards to the creation of outdoor dining and how that has helped Plymouth? Well, we've heard from Matt. We've heard from Peter. Your thought?
It's so funny because I love anecdotal stories. So I have a condo that's right downtown on Main Street, right there above Kiskadee. So I'm able to, when I walk and I'm there in the evening.
Why are you telling people where you live?
Talk to people. They know anyway, Matt. You know, they say it's a little bit like a fishbowl when they drive by. So, you know. Anyways, the point is that you talk to people. Some people really love it. Some people don't like that they're sitting next to traffic. It's such a mixed review. But I figure as long as the restaurants are being successful and want it back, that alone should tell us something. Now, we do have to balance parking because parking is such a sensitive subject, not just in Plymouth, but everywhere. So we have to keep that in mind, that if we're going to have these outside dining areas, they must be used. They can't lie idle, because that is otherwise parking that maybe is for the business next door that they need. So I think that's where we kind of have to be careful.
Yeah, I was saying earlier before you came that I testified in front of the hearing the other day for the state hearing that was at the town hall about looking at rooftop dining as well as part of that discussion, because we have a lot of flat rooftops that may be able to have some outdoor dining that way as well.
Interesting. So you talk about me not telling anybody about where I was living yet. I can tell you if there's rooftop dining, I'll be able to reach outside and shake their hand.
That's right. Exactly right.
Maybe take a French fry.
Yeah. Not a bad thing.
No.
Definitely not a bad thing.
So we don't move on, because I do have other goals. I still have almost 11 months left, so I want to see something happen with the DPW administration building, because Plymouth has invested more and more in their public works department. I think they're going to keep at it, but we need a place to put the employees. So I think we need to see an expansion there. I have a real soft spot for both Stevens Field and Brewster Gardens. So I would like to see the stairs redone at Brewster Gardens. And I'd also like to see handicap accessibility path in the back. I think it would be a fantastic addition, and a final plan with an internal project manager assigned to Stevens Field. So those, I have a couple more, but I'm going to move on because it seems like you gentlemen are in a rush now.
No, rush.
So are you sure?
No. Yeah, right, no rush.
Then I'm going to let you know, I also think that there should be, I'd like to do something with the remaining unused town public buildings, because I think Plymouth has done an awesome job in the last decade about not keeping town or public property that isn't being used on the tax rolls. And I'd like to wrap that up. We only have a couple more buildings left, so I think we're so close we can taste it. So we need to wrap up something with the South, the old school administration building on South Meadow, which I think we have a plan for. We need to finalize that. That will happen soon. And then it looks like maybe the old North Plymouth Fire Station, it looks like that sale may have fallen through. I don't know that exactly yet, but it's looking that way, so I want to get that right back out to bid, because I think that would be a wonderful residential home for somebody
in that area. Yeah, yeah.
Does the town have a lot of parcels of land or buildings in its coffers so it can afford to sell off a few of these pieces of land and facilities?
Yes. So I think it makes sense when communities hang on to some of their public spaces, particularly when it's land and if they're not sure what to do there. But when there's a building on it, I think they have to think twice about that, because usually that just leads to, you know, dilapidated looks. Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, we're trying to care for our own 32 buildings, and everybody knows the controversy around that. So, you know, we have enough to take care of with the buildings that we're using. To hang on to the ones that we don't use doesn't make sense. I'm going to put one exception out there, though, and I hope the taxpayers pay attention to this, as well as the select board and the town meeting members. Do not sell that water barn yet on Long Pond Road. You have a gem right there in an unbelievable location. It's not costing really anything to hold on to that old building. Retain it. Let's figure out a plan for that down the road, and don't be in a rush.
What is life after being the town manager like for you? Do you go into civilian life? Do you actually kick back and go, hey, I'm enjoying life?
You know what? I am so excited. I have loved my job in Plymouth, and I feel a real sense of accomplishment when I look at all the years I've been here. I can't believe it will have been 17 years by the time I leave. Well, I certainly look a lot different than I did 17 years ago.
I look the same.
I'm just excited. I don't want to commit to anything yet. Certainly, I'm engaging in some conversations with universities, because I did teach a course years ago while I worked in Plymouth, media relations at Bridgewater State University. Mm-hmm. And it was so exciting to work with graduate students that really wanted to be there. And God knows I can give so many real-life examples to Plymouth where you're dealing with, you know, media scrutiny and craziness that goes on, and having to deal with all that in a professional, collaborative way. So I would be interested in getting back up in front of a classroom. I'll tell you this, though. I'm not interested in doing it virtually. There is something about being in front of those students, one-on-one, looking at them and them having look at me, that makes a difference. So that's something I want to keep in mind. And I don't really want to make any plans or commitments right yet. My husband's awesome. I am putting a little pressure on him to potentially go about the same time as me, or maybe a few months afterwards, and spend a year traveling with me. Just him and I.
Where?
Traveling around. Where? So I'd like to spend a season in London. I've wanted to do that for a long time. I'd like to go to the Fiji Islands in New Zealand. It's a trip that we had planned for this past year and had to cancel. So I also think that Brian and I am a little more exotic on my travel plans than he is. So I think if I just said to him traveling around the States, he would love that. So it's going to be a lot of together time for two people that have worked a ton of hours the time we've known each other. But Ricky will be fine. It'll be good for him.
So are we talking like, would you take cruises? Or you'd settle down, you get yourself a flat in London and hang out?
Yes. So when we did a South Africa trip together, it was sort of planes, trains, and automobiles. We really traveled all over the country constantly on that next sort of adventure. I would do that with the exception of London. I've always wanted to spend a season in London in a flat. I've just, when we went there one time, I fell in love with it right away, so that's something I would like to do.
Good for you. And I just want to say real quickly that, Melissa, thank you for all you've done for the town. And I think we've been together all those 17 years, starting with the Finance Committee and all that. And it's just been a great pleasure to work with you and just really see how the town has changed. I wish we had pictures from 17 years ago to today and how the town has evolved. And a lot of that is because of you. So we thank you.
I appreciate that. You're welcome. It was a wonderful run. And I look now at all the different buildings that we were able to accomplish for this town over that time. So although there may be some controversy about how we didn't take as good a care as we should have about some of our older buildings, boy, you've built some beautiful new ones. And I think you have a good plan in place to maintain them.
Yeah. We've talked about a lot of fun things. I have to ask you this one question.
Okay.
Regrets. Any?
Yeah, that is a tough question.
You can't sing the Frank Sinatra song without...
Do I really have any regrets? Certainly, the last couple years have been tough. I've never been in a position where I didn't have a great relationship with my bosses. So to have a pretty openly contentious relationship with one of them has been really difficult. I think at first it was that tough Melissa Riggi, and I'm not going to let it bother me. But I think as you get older, you take better stock in that situation, and you say, boy, was it really worth it to take such a hard line, and could I have done anything differently with those situations? I know myself pretty well, but I actually can't give you an honest answer on that. I'm just not sure. And I do worry a little bit about, I hope I didn't leave any of my department heads, division heads, or staff in a bad place when it comes to relationships with individual board members because of their possible loyalty to me. I don't think that should go on nowadays. I hope it doesn't, but that worries me a little.
Well, we want to thank you so much for coming on. And you're welcome to come back on maybe in a couple of months and do a little bit of an update as to where things stand. Everybody's welcome here. I mean, you're all repeat offenders in exactly. one way or another. So let's step aside. We have one final guest as she has meandered into the room. Amy Naples is going to be joining us here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk.
Exciting things happening this fall. I want to focus on what's important, not what's for dinner. Luckily, HelloFresh delivers everything I need, and it's 30% cheaper than grocery shopping. The quick and easy recipes are perfect for weeknights. We're all busy, but with HelloFresh, I actually have time to enjoy my meals. Go to HelloFresh.com/DanaCortez14 and use code DanaCortez14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. That's code DanaCortez14 for 14 free meals at HelloFresh.com/DanaCortez14.
This financial update with CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger is sponsored by Indeed. Are you in the market for a new fridge, microwave, or washing machine? Here's Jill.
If you know you're going to need appliances, be flexible about your pricing and also about the finishes.
Hiring for an open job shouldn't morph into a full-time job. Indeed is the smart hiring platform that delivers four times more hires than all other sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Post a job and hire ASAP. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
McGuigan's Pub is an upscale Irish pub with all the class of a Boston pub. The menu offers favorites like steak tips, fish and chips, meatloaf, as well as burgers, sandwiches, and pizza. The relaxed, comfortable atmosphere at McGuigan's makes it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize with family and friends. New hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to close, Friday through Sunday, 11:30 to close. McGuigan's Pub is at 546 Washington Street in Whitman, with the full menu available at McGuigan'sPub.com.
Invest your time in listening to Cape Retirement Radio and learn a smarter approach to investing so you can protect your future. Cape Retirement Radio, featuring Chris Letond, Thursday nights at 6:15 and Sunday mornings at 10 on 95.9 WATD.
My name is Netta Vercoloni, and I'm with the Friends of the Marshfield Animal Shelter. Please join us Saturday, October 16th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Daniel Webster Estate, 238 Webster Street, Marshfield, for our fifth annual Cocktails for Critters and silent auction fundraiser. Tickets are $50 per person on our website, friendsofmarshfieldanimalshelter.org. Thank you, and hope to see you there.
By the middle of the week, so much news has come your way, you need your own team to sort it out. Lucky for you, there's Jared Valenzuela and the JV team to talk about the things you've heard and catch you up on some things you might not know.
I'm Jared Valenzuela. Join me and my guests as we have fun with current events and try to put things into perspective each week. Sponsored by Representative David DeCoste and Corey Welch of Boom Realty. Catch the JV team every Wednesday night at 6:15. Here on 95.9 WATD.
Hey! This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back. We are live. We are live back here at the final segment.
Sorry.
We're all just like talking amongst yourselves. That's what we're doing here. Amy Naples joins the fray. Everybody has stayed.
Good evening.
Amy, I'm sure you hear Amy weekly as she appears in the Sasha's Morning News.
Yes, every Wednesday morning.
Every Wednesday morning. But I wanted to invite you into the broadcast house to be here.
She's a big deal, you know. She goes on Channel 5 and all these other
I'm actually getting your autograph
as well, I know.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, man. Yeah, you're a big deal.
She doesn't have a lot of time for us nowadays.
You know, I'm kind of a big deal. Amy is here to kind of complete the final puzzle of us talking about everything Plymouth. That's the whole idea. We're talking a little bit about people who do philanthropic things like Peter, state legislative, town government. And who wants to leave out the businesses?
Nobody.
Nobody.
I'm in great company here. These guys are the absolute best. They work so hard. They don't really get as much credit as they deserve, certainly. And they've been so great to me. That's for sure. So I have nothing but respect, and I'm so sad that Melissa will be leaving us, and it literally breaks my heart, because I think if anything, over the past year or so, we've just built an amazing relationship.
I would agree.
So you might have to start a business, and then you can join the chamber.
That's right.
Right? Then you can't go anywhere. Then you have her still here.
Yes. So she's not going too far, I hope.
So how long have you served on the chamber?
So I have been with the chamber 16 years.
Oh, wow.
Is your first time as executive director, or how long have you been executive director?
You know, it's funny. I don't even know how long I've been officially executive director. No, it's just a few years.
4 years?
Yeah, 4 years. Peter, you probably know better. My old boss.
This would be a fifth year coming up.
Yeah.
And then I did serve as interim director when my boss, Dennis Hanks, left, many years ago.
Oh, goodness.
But a long time. I've served almost in every role.
How difficult has it been the last couple of years for you as ED, knowing that we have so much going on with a pandemic?
Certainly has been difficult, but I also find it so rewarding, honestly. Unlike my colleagues here, I get great recognition. I get a lot of praise and thanks from the business community, and I feel so thankful for them. Certainly, it's been challenging. I've never worked harder in my life, been more stressed, but it's certainly rewarding. And I mean, this is my hometown. This is where I'm born and raised, so nothing makes me happier than doing that.
You really didn't seem stressed. I'm sorry, I got to jump in here. You never seemed stressed during this whole COVID period. You really came out as a real leader in this whole COVID. You really were. Yeah. And I'm surprised to hear you say that you were stressed.
Oh, you have to ask my husband.
Well, especially on the downtown restaurants and the small businesses, and how she was able to Plymouth One Fund and getting that going, and all the support she was doing for us. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the chamber is there for, and I like to think we're a little unique than every other chamber, and honestly, it's because of my team, my amazing board as well. They were super supportive. My team, Bob and Meg, were unbelievable. You know, I said we had like a little powwow when everything happened. I said, you know, this is getting real, and this is when we're going to shine. Like, we have to thrive right now, and we did. And, you know, it's because of them. Truly, they work so hard. We all work so hard, but it's because we're passionate about what we do, and we love our community, and we love our business owners. They're like family to us, you know? They really are. Peter is a great friend of mine, and I can say that about so many.
Remember earlier we talked a little bit about the people that really you knew right away that they... You knew right away when we talked about the people earlier. You knew right away those people that just came forward, and you could see their work ethic and how much they loved the town and loved the community. Well, Amy was one of those people.
Thank she you. Was part of our show on a regular basis too, every week and every day too.
How important was it to be engaged not only with your membership but with any businesses that needed assistance?
Absolutely, and that's one thing. You know, we are a membership organization, right, and that's what pays our bills, but I kind of threw that out the window at that point, because we were going to help any and every business that needed it. I talked to so many businesses. I mean, half the town probably has my cell phone number now, because I said, call me anytime. Mm-hmm. I want to help you, whatever it may be. And, you know, hopefully that would turn into maybe a membership or whatever. It was worth it to be able to help them. So
sometimes it's just people venting too, and just needed somebody to vent to.
And you know exactly the same thing for you too. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there were so many times that you had to be the steady hand while everyone else was shaking, and that's right. What was hard and stressful, but lots of tears, lots of late night talks, just like talking people through, you know, the fact that it's going to be okay. There's going to be opportunities for you. You can get through this. And I have to say, our business community fared very well. Mm-hmm. We had very limited amount of closures. And honestly, that's because the town came together. I mean, our local legislators did. They were advocating on the small businesses' behalf. Melissa and all of the town employees were fighting for us and making sure that businesses were provided opportunities. So it was a group effort by everybody.
Absolutely.
So when I was talking with Melissa earlier, and I had asked her in regards to, you know, working with other town administrators, town managers, and having conversations. She had been on this radio program before as part of a collective conversation. Did you find yourself talking with other chambers and kind of finding maybe working as a collective unit to say, hey, this is what's been working with us and our membership. Maybe you could try this, and maybe you would share ideas with them. Was that anything like that going on?
Yes, but I do think a lot of my colleagues think I'm a little crazy. And I do throw maybe a lot against the wall. And the many chambers did furlough their employees, so they went on kind of a skeleton crew, which I said, absolutely not. I said to my board, I'm going to try to make this work the best I can. I'm willing to get a pay cut before we, you know, slow down working. But I would call my colleagues to ask them about specifically what they were doing for outdoor dining and things like that to get a good feel for what others were doing before kind of chatting with Melissa or presenting it to the Select board and coming up with ideas. But yeah, we definitely lean on each other. We have a group that meets of Chamber of Commerce execs in Southeastern Mass area, and we meet regularly, and we have a lot of fun, and they're amazing.
Any questions from the group before I press on?
So one of the things that impressed me through that whole project was the EDL and the PPP discussions that we had, and I was having phone calls from businesses outside of the Plymouth District asking me what to do, and I was giving them Amy's information to help them for that help. And just those talks, those workshops and stuff that she had, because my term had ended a year before COVID, and people were still reaching out to me to ask questions, and Amy stepped up to the plate every time, and it was just incredible.
One of the things we were talking about earlier, before I think Melissa came too, was tourism.
Tourism, yes, yeah, exactly. That was next on the list. Yeah,
I was just going to say, Amy, you know, can you talk a little bit about the tourism industry and working with Lee Filson and See Plymouth and how that, you know, how that's been affected? And
absolutely, and certainly I said, you know, the relationship with Melissa strengthened certainly my relationships with our economic development director, Stephen Cole, as well as our tourism director, Lee Filson, strengthened as well. I mean, we worked hand by hand. We talked almost every single day. It is certainly a priority. We know it's our number one industry here in Plymouth, and we knew how badly it was going to be impacted, and certainly that trickles down to our small businesses that depend on tourism so much, our restaurants. And many people used to say, like, oh, I won't go downtown because it's too busy, like residents, right, locals, because of the tourism. And, you know, they felt that. And so that is, of course, so important to us. But our, you know, Lee and I work so closely with different initiatives. In very early on in the pandemic, we put together a task force, the Plymouth Recovery Task Force, and we pulled in our partners. We had a representative from the Board of Health, Town Hall, Lee Filson, of course, Stephen Cole, and then different industry leaders in the restaurants, retailers. And so that way we could identify issues, how we move on from them, and continue to work on those challenges and hurdles.
And it's interesting that the pandemic hit at an untimely time, when you're about ready to launch this fantastic initiative that was years in the planning. Right. We're talking Plymouth 400. I mean, have the wheels been able to get back on the track for all those events that were planned out and had to be postponed and pushed back?
Unfortunately, no, not at all. And I tell my colleagues and, you know, others around the state that Plymouth was impacted much greater than many other communities, especially in regards to businesses. They were prepping for this. They were investing. They had extra inventory. They did customer service trainings. They really invested in their employees because we thought we were going to see millions upon millions of visitors around the world. And unfortunately, you know, that came to a halt.
One example of that, I don't know if you know this, but the 1620 Winery here at Cottage Park, they've got these special Mayflower bottles, yes, of wine, and they have cases and cases and cases of them. And they were prepping it just for that, and they still have all these cases in inventory.
Yes. We had actually a luncheon, our Empowering Women's Luncheon last week, and each attendee received a bottle of the 400.
They can't give them enough. She says it's going to take 2 or 3 years to give them all away.
I know. And that's a great example. And many other businesses did the same.
Yeah. In your estimation, would you say that there's been an uptick in for businesses and for restaurants, like restaurants and the town, when it comes to tourism?
So there has been an uptick, but certainly not numbers we were seeing before. Mm-hmm. And particularly more on the weekends. It's slow midweek. So, you know, we know those international travelers aren't here, so they're not staying for the week, and they're not here in town during the week. So that is impacting certainly the business community and the tourism that we're seeing locally here.
Is there anything that can be done? Are there initiatives right now being enacted to kind of help that?
I mean, I have to say...
convention center.
Exactly, a convention center. And I would love to see that in the downtown or waterfront area. That is just, since Matt has been talking about that, that's all I kind of think about, like how that could certainly be such a positive impact on our local economy. And the.
Do you have a location in mind? Do you have that's close to your heart? Where would you like to see it? We'll go around the room.
I probably shouldn't say, but like the Isaac's the old Isaac's restaurant.
I like that restaurant.
Yeah.
Melissa?
Well, it's interesting that you just said that. I actually hadn't thought of the old Isaac's restaurant. I always have some regrets as I look back on Plymouth's history that we didn't acquire the old Ocean Spray building.
Yes, I was going to say that, yeah.
Because I think that's just a nice, almost corner area that something could have been done. Now, who knows if it can ever be acquired down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never know if that's an opportunity, but if it was, that would really make sense.
That's the ideal location, too. And I think if that's not available, I think I said town hall earlier, but Melissa didn't get that idea. But I think you could do something with Memorial Hall and that location back there. Remember, we had the parking garage structure that we were going to do behind there.
Yeah.
I think you could probably do something there as well. That might not
if we
be a
can
bad
incorporate
place.
The museum into the convention center. That would be beautiful.
Yeah. But would there have to be a parking garage?
There
component?
Have to be a structure there too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And that could happen as well.
Yeah. That would be a perfect spot.
What would be a perfect space number? 400, 500.
I'm just throwing it out there. Probably.
Mid-sized convention center. What would that be, Amy? What size?
The convention center itself.
I think I remember Paul Cripps. For seats or parking?
For parking.
Parking, probably 300 or 400, maybe a couple hundred at least. Yeah.
Because we know Brockton, they just built one in downtown Brockton as part of their whole revitalization of the downtown corridor. And that's really opening things up.
Yeah, but if you were coming from another part of the state, wouldn't you want to come to Plymouth with a waterfront?
Yes. All that?
Absolutely. All day long. America's hometown.
Nothing against Brockton. I live there.
No. I would. Yeah, I'm going to go see a parade. I'm going downtown Brockton. Downtown Plymouth.
Downtown
Plymouth.
Downtown Plymouth.
Best parade around, right? Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Yeah. They got Thanksgiving parade. It's going to be happening this year.
Yeah. No, but it's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Correct. Right? It is. Yep. Mm-hmm. So. Yep. It's happening this year, too.
So, Amy, where do you see the businesses going in the next 5 years?
How do you see hopefully up. It's all up from here, right?
Yeah.
I would say they're going to be doing great. I mean, once our tourism recovers a little bit more, our businesses have held on. They've done an incredible job. I do see entrepreneurship growing tremendously. Yeah. Stephen and I work with people all day. Stephen Cole, the economic development director, and I work with inquiries all the time. Just for example, last Friday, Matt was with me. We had a brand new boutique open in downtown Plymouth, and it's a beautiful clothing boutique, and it is just awesome. And I see so much more of that happening, and having downtown and the waterfront district really kind of grow in terms of those more unique type of businesses. Yeah. Village Landing has amazing businesses as well, great place to go shopping. So I do see that. And I also think supporting local businesses have heightened. So I think that people do want those shops. Yeah. Yes, it's easy to do like one click and here it comes, but trying on clothes and, you know, buying something for that special occasion or buying a gift and seeing it's
different.
That's
the thing, because of all the way these stores have and the malls are starting to consolidate and become living areas, there's those small stores people want to go to now.
Yes, exactly.
And then you've had restaurants open during COVID.
We sure have. Yeah. We've had a couple.
Yeah. So
that's Artisan Pig.
Artisan Pig. Roll Street Tavern. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's great. And then Melissa was talking about one of her goals was to put the signs on the streets for the older streets in Plymouth. And that was one of the things you and I had talked about before, is trying to get people from Water Street to Main.
Always.
Always.
Yes.
It's just a crazy thing trying to get people up there, especially now where I'm involved with the Pilgrim Hall Museum, and we're like the cornerstone of Court Street and the waterfront when it comes up. And how to get people to go there? So what would you want us to help you with?
I will say I do think that more traffic has gone uptown because of outdoor dining. It creates a little different vibrancy. People want to see what's going on. You know, people are attracted to busy areas. They want to go check it out. So I do think outdoor dining has helped generate some traffic going up. But that's always going to be something we need to be working on, is getting people from the waterfront, especially our tourists and visitors. And I've always said, I think, obviously, Brewster Street is a great street, but North Street is as well, and maybe creating some public art, whether it's hanging, like buoys hanging or something fun, because you're just looking up and you continue walking and there you are and you're in downtown.
Right.
We did the scallop roll and, of course, the lobster crawl.
Yep.
Before, and that's a great wayfinding as well to get people around town.
Yeah, we mentioned that earlier. We're talking about Ed the Lobster.
Yeah, Ed the Lobster.
Yes.
We're just talking about outdoor dining. Now, I know you're sitting on the committee that the select board has put together. Can you give us an update on what's happening there at this point?
So I have not attended a meeting. I'm attending my first meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
So
what's the goal of that committee?
Well, Selectman Helm certainly wants it to be, the town have their ducks in a row, so to speak, so that everything is ready, prepared. And I believe, certainly where I'm coming from, is I would love for it to be affordable for small businesses to be able to do so. I understand there's costs involved, and I know Selectman Helm has also mentioned in regards to the restroom expansion, or expansion of restrooms and things like that, and the sewer tie-in. So there's a lot that needs to go into that, and I think it's the task force is kind of determining what those problems are. Obviously, we're during COVID time, so, you know, everything was approved and allowed, and there were no expenses along with that, but we know that that can't be forever. Mm-hmm. So,
and you were part of the state committee meeting the other day with Sue Moran, the Senator Moran.
Yes.
Talking about, can you talk a little bit about that, what went on at that?
Sure. So of course I am there to advocate for permanent outdoor dining. One, I think that our community and just people in general have learned to love it, and I would love to see it as a permanent fixture. I do agree that what we have in place is not permanent. It's not a permanent solution. Aesthetically, there needs to be some changes to it, and certainly affordability for the businesses. So it was great to hear from the other businesses and how that impact has had impact. I know firsthand because I've spoken with a lot of our local businesses, and many of them wouldn't have been open if the town did not.
Yeah.
Give them that space. And we know during those times, people were not comfortable eating indoors. So that was really the only opportunity for them. And, you know, that got them over that hurdle. And I would love to see it. I prefer to eat outside just in general. I prefer to be outside anytime I
either
can.
Either on the street or rooftop, right?
I would
push
love
that rooftop.
We got to
look
at rooftops.
I've been to Nashville, so I know.
Yeah,
the rooftop.
Talk about that, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
To die for, huh?
To die for. It's the such a fun city.
And I think we do have some buildings on Main Street in Plymouth that could do that.
Absolutely. I think so, too, like UVA, mm-hmm. And identifying those and seeing what mm-hmm. type of opportunities mm-hmm. there are with the owners mm-hmm. of those. That would be great.
We should probably give you an opportunity if there is a business that has not become a member of the chamber. Do you want to tease the benefits of being a member of the Plymouth Area Chamber?
I don't have all night, so I'll just highlight a few, because
just,
there are so many benefits of becoming a member. Certainly, we advocate for small businesses, and we are the voice for our small business community, and I think this past couple of years have shown that. And also, we provide great networking opportunities to connect with other like-minded businesses. We also only refer our members, and we get tons of phone calls every day looking for various industries. And most people think that it's just hotels and things like that. No. That's not the case whatsoever. People call for attorneys, real estate landscaping, you name it, we get phone calls, because when you're a member of the chamber, people feel that you're a trusted business and you're committed to the community. So those are some. You also receive a listing on our website, which gets tons of hits. We highlight you. We also communicate regularly with, of course, the most up-to-date information affecting your businesses. And there are so many great opportunities for people to become a member and for businesses. So we try to stay, fun and
innovative.
Relevant. And we're constantly changing our events. You know, it's important for us to keep up with the trends. And
what's your next event?
Our next event is actually this Friday. It is our annual legislative breakfast, which
Look
is
at
a,
you. What a great segue.
What an excellent segue, Representative Muratori. So on Friday morning at 7:30 at Hotel 1620, we will be welcoming all of our local legislators to hear from each of them and various topics. I know Matt has been instrumental in coordinating the topics with all of the legislators, so thank you for that, as always. We have a great group of business owners joining us to hear from our legislators, and certainly our local legislators have worked so hard for our small businesses this year, and I think people want to say thank you, network with them, and always, of course, catch their ear. So we're excited for that. If people are interested, I might be able to squeeze them in. But
I was gonna say, it's not sold out yet?
Getting close.
I will just mention this about the chamber. So one of the things that I think that they can be really instrumental is helping to maneuver through the bureaucracy of the town. Mm. So whether it is dealing with town hall, dealing with the public works department, working with the fire department, they have the advantage of having established relationships, and they understand the path to get to opening your doors. Yes. So in that way, I just would encourage, especially new businesses and existing businesses, there are always going to be things that you need from your local government. They can help you.
Thank you.
One thing you failed to do.
Oh, no. What's that?
You got to give us the website.
Oh, of course. Well, there's lots of ways to connect with me.
You should have said failed, but you forgot to do.
Not just a website anymore, Kevin.
No. So our website is PlymouthChamber.com.
Thank you.
And to stay up to date on all of our happenings, certainly follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And I can be reached at any time. Mike, Bob, or myself are always happy to chat with you. So reach out. We do, but not so much. We're not big Twitter.
All right, so you don't tweet, but you Instagram. Okay.
You should do Twitter.
I want to thank you all for coming here.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Melissa.
Thank you.
Representative. Peter.
Thank you.
Larry also. Great job.
Thanks, Larry.
Kathy Lenatra, state rep,
yes,
for calling
Kathy.
In.
Aw,
Kathy.
Thank you all so much for coming in and being a part of this special segment. Until next week at 6:15 p.m. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
ATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. The South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD.